Chapter 3. 5 of them sat down to early dinner that evening in a tent set up in the garden behind the hospital's kitchen. Joseph had joined them, followed by a Dr. Merrick. "White medicine man," he said with a smile as he shook hands with them. "Surgeon and dispenser of pills." It was obvious that Samat was not inclined to explain or speak of the death he'd seen, or any of the troubles he was experiencing. The conversation became a mixture of shop talk, hospital supplies, sand fleas, and crop rotation, to which Mrs. Polifax only half listened. She wondered if Samat was sorry now that she and Katie had arrived, and was realizing how little help they could provide, or if he simply needed a respite from his worries for an hour. She was still feeling embarrassed, too, about fainting at Moses' bicycle shop, and because of this she questioned just what role she could play if she was to go around falling over and being laid out on benches. Their dinner was a modest one of yams, hard-boiled eggs, and stewed chicken, with a bread sauce that resembled a dumpling. When they had begun eating, the sky had been ravished with color, but now they were surrounded by night, and with the abrupt setting of the sun at 6 o'clock, an evening chill was stealing into the tent and wrapping itself around her shoulders and ankles. 2 candles sputtered on the table, alternately shadowing and illuminating their faces, and Mrs. Polifax, observing each in turn, gained the impression that Joseph did not like Dr. Merrick. Jealous, perhaps, she thought, this Joseph who had saved their lives in April, and who no doubt had a proprietary feeling toward this Mfumo, who had promoted him from palace servant to assistant and guard. "My right hand," Samat had said of Joseph. He was lighter skinned than Samat, of medium height and broad shoulders, with a small head, the face smooth, the flesh drawn taut as a drum head across high, sharp cheekbones. His eyes were small, alert and intelligent, and almost disappeared on the rare occasions when he smiled. "A serious man, Joseph." Samat had said he claimed to be in his 40s, but this was a matter of guesswork, since he had been born in the shanty town outside of Languka, where no birth records could prove it. But it was possible. He bore the marks of a man who had survived that sort of life.